Will you join with me as we read our scripture, our second scripture from Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 16. I've waited 9 months to read this. I think I can do it. Sorry, Wayne. Okay. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually come. Wait, let me try this again. Excuse me. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things that we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we see did not come from anything that can be seen. Thank you, Becky. It's really hard.
You sweetheart.
You wear your heart on both sleeves. Okay. Okay.
So I'm at verse 3.
Okay. By faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe in God, that God exists, and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. All these people died still believing that God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. I just want to say that I think Donna and Wayne are examples of this, and we know that they're leaving one land for another, and we know that we'll all see them again in a heavenly land, and because of their faith and our faith. Amen.
This chapter in Hebrews, chapter 11, is called about faith in action. It's the heroes of faith. We all like heroes, right? Here we have this entire chapter is about the heroes of faith. But it's put here for a very good reason, to remind us and to encourage us about our own faith. So I want to start off this morning by asking you to examine your own faith. What is your faith? When was the last time you stopped and really thought about your faith in God? And what does that mean to your life here in Haines today? We need to stop and pause and think about our faith from time to time. And we first need to examine what faith is. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and use a bunch of terms from theologians and theological words to talk about what faith is. Let's talk about our faith in realistic things. The writer to the Hebrews here says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. What does that mean to you? What is faith? Now, one thing that we have to really examine and know for certainty is that faith is not blind. We don't have to have a blind faith. Our faith has really good reasons and a lot of logic and a lot of justification for our faith. We don't have to have a blind faith. There's rational things that demonstrate for us that we can, in fact, be sure of our faith. And this chapter is one of those rational things. But I have tried to gather up different ways to look at our faith. And I don't know, some may apply to you, some may ring a bell with you, some may stick with you, and others may not. So let's look at the slides here up on the overhead. First one. First, faith is not a general religious attitude. Faith hears and believes God's promises. Faith requires actions. It's not just having a general religious attitude. Let's have the next one, Leslie. Faith recognizes God as the Creator. Did you notice that at the very beginning in chapter 11 here? It starts off, by faith we understand that the universe was formed by God's command. So first of all, we have faith that God is the Creator of this wonderful universe that we live in, and believes that He will make all things right. We can look around this world, turn on the news, read a newspaper or a magazine, and we know that things are not right in this world, are they? But we know through our faith that God is making all things right. Think back to the first chapters of Genesis, the very first chapter. When God spoke, it happened. And what did God say about this world that He had created? It was very good. Thank you, Judith. I knew I could count on you. Very good. And we humans messed it up, didn't we, in our sin. And God is at work through Jesus Christ, making all things new. And we believe that He will make all things right. Do you believe that in your faith? Do you hold that in your heart? Do you know that with an absolute certainty? Let's go on to the next one. Faith already possesses in the present what God has promised for the future. Now, the people listed here that we're going to go over and look at some of their stories, they knew that with an absolute certainty. Faith possesses in the present, right now, here on a Sunday morning in Haines, what God has promised in the future. Do you hang on to that? Do you know that? Okay. Next one. Faith is looking at God and trusting Him for everything. I think that's a pretty hard one for us to sometimes accept in our own lives. I know since, having been here in Alaska for a little while, we pride ourselves in our independence and we can get along and do things ourselves, right? No, we trust God for everything. We are not independent. We need each other. Last night was a wonderful demonstration that what we can do as a community is so much greater than what we can do as individuals, right? But faith is looking at God and trusting in Him for absolutely everything in our lives. Do you do that? Let's try the next one, Leslie. Hope is looking at the future and trusting God for it. Now, the hope that I'm using here, and I've said this many times to you over the past several years, the way that the Bible uses the word hope is not the way we use hope. When the Bible says hope, the Greek word for hope means absolute certainty. It's not like us when we look out on this glorious day and say, well, I hope it doesn't rain this afternoon, because we really think it might, okay? No, hope is an absolute certainty that what God has promised is in fact going to come true. And that's the way the word that we translate hope in the Bible is used. So if you mark in your Bibles, every time you see the word hope, put a notation there. Absolute certainty. It's not a wishful thought. And hope, the absolute certainty, is looking at the future and trusting God for it. Next one. This one, I had to think about this for a little while. Faith is to believe what we do not see, and this faith helps us see what we believe. This a statement very similar to this was first written down by St. Augustine, or Augustine. How do you pronounce his name? Augustine? Okay. In the 4th century, faith is to believe what we do not see, and this faith helps us see what we believe. It's not a circular argument, but it does follow. They're interconnected. When we have faith, then we are actually, when we have faith in God, that helps us to actually see Him at work in our lives. Is there one more? People of faith have confidence here and now, no matter what storms surround them. We've all probably been watching on the news and seeing the storm, Hurricane Matthew, and the devastation that's caused this past week. Even in the midst of a storm of that magnitude, people who of faith have confidence that God is still in control, no matter what storms surround them. What storms are you facing right now in your life? Thank you, Leslie. What storms are you facing now in your life? Where do you need to increase your faith and your trust in what God has promised you? I said earlier that we don't have to have a blind faith. There are rational, logical reasons behind our faith. When we look at this wonderful creation, we have an advantage over a lot of the rest of the United States, don't we, when we look out these windows? We can see the glory of our Creator just by looking outside our doors. The whole creation testifies about God. And so what we have here, though, as the writer of Hebrews says in verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what we see now, it was made out of nothing. He didn't take stuff that already existed and cobble it together and make our universe. He just spoke it into being, is what the writer of the Hebrews is saying. And he also says here, if you look at the creation, you can see the Creator. It's all about the Creator. And this is the handiwork that he shows us. And then when he starts talking about some of the people of the Bible who, and he points out that these people that he's all talking about, they did not receive the things that were promised. And yet they had faith in those promises of God. He moves first to Abel. You know the story of Cain and Abel? Cain and Abel each brought their offerings to God. Abel's offering was acceptable, Cain's was not. And when we read through that story in Genesis, we learn that it's largely about our heart attitude when we bring our offerings to God. And Abel brought an acceptable offering because his heart was right, and Cain did not. And God corrected Cain, and Cain got angry, and he killed his brother. We know that story, right? And yet, here the writer of the Hebrews says that by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. His faith in the Lord still speaks to us centuries and millennia later about having faith in God and doing things with a right attitude towards God still speaks to us today. So with faith, even, the dead still can speak to us. Then it goes into Enoch, a very unusual story in Genesis. Enoch was a righteous person. He had faith and he pleased God, and God took him up into the heavenlies without having him die. And so the writer says he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Do you want to please God with your life? Faith is what enables you to do that. Then he talks about the story of Noah, who had faith in God and built this ark out in the middle of the desert, and because he had been warned, there's a great flood coming. And we don't know how long it took, but imagine he was suffered quite a bit of persecution and indignation from others for what he was doing, but he still had the faith, and he saved his family, and he saved so many others, so many of the animals, etc. And then we get to the story of Abram, or Abraham, and Sarah. And then their offspring, Isaac and Jacob. Abraham and Shannon read portions of his story. Goes from basically Genesis chapter 12 through 18. She read from chapter 15 for us. And in that one chapter, the very beginning, that's a chapter that's used over and over again throughout the New Testament. Talks about how God came and appeared to Abraham, said, I've blessed you, I'm with you. And Abraham basically says, well, yes, I know you've made these promises to me, but what good are your blessings if I don't even have any children to pass them on to? God promises him a son. Says, go outside and look at this wonderful creation I have created. Look at the stars in the sky. You're going to have more offspring than that. And Abraham knew he was too old to have children. He knew his wife was too old. But God is the one who brings life where there is none. And God made the promise, and Abraham believed. And Paul uses that in Romans particularly. He believed, and that was credited to him as his righteousness, his belief in God. But look at what Abraham did before that. God said, I want you to leave your homeland and go to a place that after you're on your journey, I'll show it to you. Didn't even tell him where it was. Get up and start moving, and Abraham did. He says, I'm going to give you this land. But he never inherited it. He never got it. Neither did his son nor his grandson. When did they finally get when did his descendants get the land? Anybody remember? How many years later? What? Over 400, yes. Over 400 years later, many generations later, when Moses led the children of Israel back out, that's when they finally inherited the land. He accepted God's promise as given and acted on it, even though he never saw it in his lifetime. He did see the promise of the Son, but he never saw the descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. These are people who all acted on their faith in God and the promises that he gave. Now, some of you may be saying, well, might be a little easier for Abraham to believe. It says that he saw God in this vision and God came and gave him this promise. I haven't had a vision. I haven't heard God's voice speak to me. Anybody feel that way? Oh, come on, at least one of you. Matt, at least you can raise your hand. Yeah, okay? Okay, I'll admit it. There are times when I've thought, yeah, I would love to have God speak directly to me in that way, right? But the truth is, He has. He has spoken to all of us. And here is His spoken word to us. I'm holding it in my hand. And you all probably have one right there with you. And if you don't, look in the back of the chair in front of you. This is God's promises to us. And what are these promises that we need to have absolute certainty in? Number one, God loves you. And He has a better life for you if you will just trust Him. Number two, He loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die for you. Number three, He raised Him from the dead. And He lives now. And He reigns on high. And just by accepting Him into your life, He promises you a better life here in Haines, just as it is in heaven. We just prayed that, didn't we? These are the promises God has for you. Do we have the faith to trust in His promises and to live our lives accordingly? That's our challenge. These examples that the writers of Hebrews is giving to us is trying to help us to stand firm in our faith when the storms of life surround us. My prayer is that we can do that. Amen.